This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, Facebook was offline and no one really cared. What happens when Google Fiber fails in your neighborhood? NASA has announced a very bold move. And something more surprising, phone location data that they collect on how they pinpoint you, is improving, but no corresponding privacy improvements. I want to welcome you to episode 1352 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you're a longtime subscriber and part of the Ohana, I want to thank you for staying subscribed. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, today's the first time you have listened or watched this podcast. I want you to take time to go over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you're going to find subscribe to podcast links, via Apple Podcast or on Android or via email or via Google Podcast or on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. Lots of ways to listen. This show is where you listen to your audio. You can find Geek News Central any place that you listen to audio today. And if it's not one of those that I just spoke about, search for Geek News Central on that audio device or audio application. Of course, we want you to take time and get subscribed to the newsletter when you're on the website. That information's a little bit further down the page. That will get you an email directly following the show with all the stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight, with all the links, all the corresponding metadata that you'll need to go through and look at the content that I've covered. So definitely make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all that great content. And of course, we want to thank all of our good friends here for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. Of course, you can watch this show on your Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can use your smart home device by saying the keyword to activate it and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. We do this show live on both Mondays and Thursday nights. Of course, it's available podcasts immediately following that. But we're live at GMT minus 10, anywhere between 6 and 8 p.m. So that's usually pretty late for most of you. But I'm available on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch. We're on Mixer. Lots of places to listen to the show or watch. If you want to watch live, of course, you can join our chat room at any time. It's real simple. It's a Mastodon server. All you got to do is go over to geeknews.chat and hang out and share your thoughts and hang out with the Ohana. If you don't like to use that, you can come on our Slack channel by sending me an email. Let me know you want to be part of the Slack family and I'll add you to our Slack channel. As always, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. So really lots of ways to stay in touch. Of course, you can always follow on Facebook when it works as well. Hey, partner shows include, and these are all linked at Geek News Central, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and of course, Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store as well. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor here. Our sponsor has been with us a long time and it's pretty exciting. We're fast approaching our 14th year of having GoDaddy as a sponsor of this show. If there was a Guinness Book of World Record, they would be it. And really, the gateway to saving starts at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All my promo codes are there, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be .com for 99 cents, whether it be $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for for the first year with a free domain. All those are available. All those promo codes. Cut and paste that promo code as you use it in checkout, or click on the link to immediately lock in the savings. Now, as a reminder, if you're going to be...
There might be something on Karenow.com.
Oh.
Do you want to hear it?
So, why does that Cortana device just start speaking anytime it wants? I don't know. It has nothing to do with GoDaddy. But when you are looking to save the most money on these promo codes, for example, on the economy hosting plan, when you get to checkout, make sure they haven't got the 3-year button selected. Go up and change it to 1 year. Again, $12 gets you in with a free domain. So that's something that I can't control, but I can tell you when you get to the checkout counter to make sure you change that to 12 months. If you want to lock in the savings out for 3 years, that's fantastic as well, because they usually give you the biggest discounts when you initially sign up for service. So definitely check all those promo codes out at geekmecentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, and business plus plans. All the codes again are on the website. You, if you don't need a website, if you don't need a domain name, if you don't have a desire to start an online business, well, don't worry. You can help the show out by linking to that page in your social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, wherever it may be, or you can share the promo codes with people that you work with, family, friends, and get those savings. Every time someone uses one of these codes, it is like you writing a check to this show, making a donation. Can't stress that enough. So share my promo codes with your friends, families, and people that you know, and I would definitely appreciate it, and I thank you for doing so, as you have over many, many years. So anyway, let me just get you guys caught up here. It's kind of, I have been waking up like looking at my clock, and not the time, but the calendar. And I'm thinking about the trips I have and the time to get everything done that I need to get done to be ready to leave Hawaii. And my eyeballs get a little big. And today I was on the phone. I have made a decision to, I called Matson. And I had been talking to Pods folks, and I wasn't happy with them because the Pods folks were going to bring me a 16x8x8 container. They were going to drop it here, let me fill it, pick it up. If I needed another one, they were going to bring another one. But each of those cost about $6,700 to send to where I'm shipping stuff to. But they would not bring the pod to the destination where I needed to be delivered, and said, you have to come up to our warehouse and take stuff out of the container and put it into another vehicle. And then so we're going to have to handle stuff like 3 times. And it just wore on me. So I'm Googling around, looking on. And one of my friends said, call Matson, see what they have to say. I called Matson, and they will bring me a 20-foot trailer. I don't need 20 feet. Be honest with you, I don't, but it's the best value. You can put up like a 3-bedroom home in a 20-foot trailer. So it's like 17.9 feet by 7.9 feet wide. There's a lot of cubes. A lot of stuff can go in there. And essentially this studio has to go in there. My storage unit stuff has to go in there, which some of the stuff in here will go into boxes that are in the storage unit. And my clothes and some variety of knickknacks, stuff on the wall, posters, you know, all that stuff. Some of the stuff's going to take up space. As Trucker Tom was telling me, make sure I get professional packing cases and everything. So, you know, as I'm looking at this, I'm like, this isn't a big deal, but I'm thinking, okay, probably a week to get this thing packed out. And so with the Matson trailer, it's delivered on a semi, basically comes here in the loading platforms 4 feet off the ground. And, which is not a big deal because we're not putting a lot of big furniture stuff up in here. We'll have a number of things. I'll need help getting it up in there. But, so what it really does is changes things, because I'm thinking, I say, all right, so now I'm going to have to get pallets. You can put 10 pallets in a 20-foot trailer, and I'm going to need to, in order to secure this stuff, I'll have to you know, put, build the pallets in the middle of the trailer because I don't have a forklift here. And then I'll have to, you know, use a hand cart to move stuff around into the trailer, get it. And basically we're going to have to plastic wrap it so that you basically we're going to have to set everything up so it's palletized and then plastic wrap everything to hold the load. And then we'll use a pallet jack and push it up in the corner and we'll, you know, stack them in there. Then I'm going to need to either build something to hold those pallets so they don't, you know, rock around as they're, this thing's being trained across the country or on the ship from, you know, the ship doing this. And so my head kind of exploded a little bit, but the best part was they're cheaper, $200 cheaper, and it's door to door. So the only thing I have to arrange here that I have to have a truck. I've got to call the company to have them do a little short haul with the trailer up here, and then they take it back to the port. And then once it's at the port, then Mattson takes over and they hire the trucking firm or put it on a rail or whatever it is to get it to my location. And so they're saying about 30 days, which is about the same, but cheaper. Not a lot cheaper, but I get a 20-foot container and get it shipped for about $6,600 and it's delivered to my door. So that is like, okay, good, we're good. But, you know, be honest with you. The 16 foot, I was worried about filling, but the 20 foot, I'm like, I'm going to have more space. So of course there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm going to have to deal with to be, to make sure nothing is, you know, this load is stable so that when we open the door after stuff is delivered, the stuff isn't all over its side or spread all over the trailer and broke and smashed. So what I contacted a packing company today and I said, hey, can you come and help me pack this trailer? And so we're going to talk more and hopefully they'll be able to come in and actually help me pack the stuff up. I need to get packed and all the electronics and monitors in the right type of packing cases. It's going to cost me a little more money, but in the end, it'll probably save me a lot of money because stuff will hopefully show up not smashed. And, you know, that's the main thing I'm worried about. Now, I have made one decision. I am going to ship the iMac. I'm going to ship that separate. It's going to go FedEx. Everything else will go, but this is the one item, the one high value item that I can use right away. So I'll send that out. So that's kind of been my, what I'm thinking about. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on, getting some medical stuff changed. So a lot of stuff going on here. And it's going to just tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock things. It's just going to be like next week. It's going to be crazy, but simple things like filing pallets. You know, if I was in Michigan, I'd be like, yeah, I'll just go over there and pick up 10 pallets. Here, I don't know where to go to get pallets. So I've got to find a place that sells pallets and, you know, it's just a thing. It's weird, but 20-foot trailer, you know, so what does a 20-foot trailer cost? It's basically half a semi trailer. That's a normal semi-trailer, 40 foot. This is 20 foot, so it's half. And what does that run? Well, that's $6,600. And door to door, minus the short haul I have to pay for here in Honolulu, which will probably cost me a couple hundred bucks at a minimum, just because that's, you know, hookup fee and tow it up here and mileage and, you know, return trip and, you know, whatever that's going to be. But that's just playing the game here. Now, I went online to order in some shipping materials and I'm like, they went like $500 to ship the shipping materials in. So I'm like, nope, going to have to go buy them local. I found a company that's got that. So I'm going to be go visiting them. And if this packing company says, oh, we'll bring the supplies and, you know, you just pay us, then good. I'll pay the markup and let them do that and have the professional packers come in and pack a lot of this up. They can pack this thing in what I need to be packed in a day. You know, I just have to have my stuff set aside. So here's the end thing. I talked about the last video show. So the last Hawaii video show will be May 16th. That'll be the last one. And I've got some trips in between. So there's going to be some audio during those trips as well. So anyway, that's it. And I just thought I'd just get you guys caught up here on what the plan is. And a lot of things in between that have to be dealt with, gone through, and but you know, it's like March 14th. And I'm thinking, my God, it's like 70 days away, you know, and then a departure out of Hawaii in very early June, first week of June. So probably around my birthday or something thereabouts. But actually, I've started the vehicle search too. So I told my sister, okay, this is the, you know, here's my price range. This is what I'm looking for. So we're going to start doing the car search so that hopefully when I get there, I'll actually have wheels already. I won't have to go shopping and I'll be able to go really right to work immediately. That's the thing that'll be important, and hopefully be in the Columbus office the week of the 10th of June and taking care of that. All right. So anyway, bada bing, bada boom. Let's go ahead and move on and get into the stack of stuff here. First and foremost, in the news, as we've gone through and what I was watching over the past really 24 hours was in I noticed yesterday morning, Facebook was kind of like weird. Stuff wasn't loading right. And I was just annoyed. I was trying to respond to a person in our Blueberry podcasting group that was asking a question, and I couldn't attach a image, and it was a little red like icon that said stuff didn't post. And so I knew they were having problems, and I just kind of, oh well, and I had a lot of other stuff going on. So, you know, they had like a 24 hour outage of certain parts of Facebook, but yet we survived. And I think people's mental health for those 24 hours may be a little better because you weren't on Facebook all day. But they're reporting now all services are operational. And apparently somebody made a server, quote unquote, misconfiguration. Now, I'm going to tell you this is kind of a side note here. About 2 weeks ago, Raw Voice, the company that is the parent company for everything we do in podcasting, started having email go to spam. And so I have a CEO at rawvoice.com and Todd at blueberry.com email address for the company. And the CEO at rawvoice.com has been the email I've used for years. And the Todd at blueberry.com is we've used it for a couple of years. It's actually what's on my corporate business card. So the way things were set up was support tickets would come in on both support at rawvoice.com and support at blueberry.com. And then we had one ticketing system where we would respond, and the default response was coming from CEO at rawvoice.com, but maybe the ticket had come in at support at blueberry.com. Well, somehow Google changed the rules and started saying, you can't do that. If it looks like you're cross domain stuff, we're going to mark that as spam. But it really wasn't, because I was replying to a ticket in a ticketing system that someone had come in on 90% of the time, but the emails that were coming in, the support tickets were coming in via email that I was replying to, because the support at blueberry.com was forwarded into support at rawvoice.com, which I would see as a normal email, which I was on a distribution with. So if the mail come from support at blueberry.com originally, and I replied as CEO at rawvoice.com, man, Gmail flipped out and started marking all those emails spam. So it took us a while to figure out what was going on. And meanwhile, people say, hey, we didn't get your support email, on and on and on. And we really had not made any changes. We've done all the stuff to make sure we're registered, make sure we're following all the rules for our newsletters, all this stuff we're doing to make sure that we're being good corporate email citizens. And all of a sudden, Gmail, besides they didn't like how stuff was being crossed between the two companies, put us in the penalty box. So we've been dealing with that. And yeah, I'm thinking to myself, we didn't invoke this. Someone else did. And on Facebook, I can't imagine being Mark Zuckerberg and having my entire network or part of my network going down and then finding out later, It was a server issue. When Angelo has been pulling his hair out on our side, trying to figure this out. As of tonight, we've resolved it. And what really allowed is because we have a corporate Google Apps account, they allow you, we had separate ones, two separate Google Apps accounts, one for rawvoice.com, one for blueberry.com. And they allow you to bring blueberry.com under one, under, and basically it's another domain underneath those. So now I've got one email inbox only. So all email that comes from CEO at rawvoice.com and everything comes from Todd at blueberry.com comes into one Gmail account. And no forwarding. It's all tied in. And so far, everything's getting out and there's no spam. Now we've got a whole bunch of work to do some mapping, some stuff that comes in. But long story short, we're on the other side of the hill on this thing. But we didn't figure it out until we called Google and said, hey, and because we have a paid account, we can call them. And Orangel called them and said, hey, what's the deal? You know, my emails were going ghost. They weren't even being delivered. You know, that was this crazy part. They weren't even going into customer spam folder. They were just like, you know, this email is not legit. You're a bulk sender. And I'm not. I'm not a bulk sender on my email address. So it was just the way Google had it all flagged. So I've been, had to breathe very carefully and not, because it's really not the dev team's fault. It's these changes that were made by Gmail. But if I was Mark Zuckerberg, I would want heads. Bring me the head. Bring me the you know, bring me everyone responsible. You know, I can hear that just thinking what he's thinking, you know. You know, in our situation was just some emails were going missing, which is bad enough. But, you know, for your whole network to go down, woohoo. But again, was a result of a server configuration change. And they had a very nice little Twitter post because they had to use Twitter to get the word out. Yesterday, as a result of a server configuration change, many people had trouble accessing our apps and services. We've now resolved the issue and our systems are recovering. We're very sorry for the inconvenience and appreciate everyone's patience. Now, that's the true word of a crisis control person. That's not Zuckerberg. Can you imagine the internal back and forth that were going on? Can you imagine? You know, a network like Facebook, which can't go down, did go down, at least partially went down. WhatsApp was offline. I think Instagram was offline. So I'm telling you, tells you how tight stuff is tied together. I'd love to know what the server misconfiguration. It had to be something to do with the database, some database tie-in, because stuff was like trying to work, but it couldn't. At the same time, Telegram, you guys remember Telegram? You know, that's still available. Telegram got 3 million new signups during Facebook apps outage. Is that amazing? So people were, because Messenger wasn't working, everyone was trying to send stuff via Telegram. And it's funny what he said. The founder said, I see 3 million new users signed up for Telegram within the last 24 hours. Good. We have true privacy and unlimited space for everyone. And he makes you go, okay. Good little ploy there. And they're talking about pivoting their platform to privacy, da-da-da-da. So, yes, Telegram has over 200 million active users. And, of course, it's faced restrictions and blocks in countries like Russia and Iran and China, of course, because they don't give the government encryption keys. So now this guy is actually the founder of this, is originally from Russia, which is kind of interesting in itself. But anyway, anyone use Telegram? I don't even know if I had it loaded on my phone. I'll have to look. But fun day. Now, let's not talk. Those of you that are listening to the show in Louisville, I really do enjoy Louisville. It was one as a kid. Louisville was one of the first big cities I went to. My dad took me. My dad was in construction. He took me to a. It was in the middle of the winter, and it was cold. I can remember that because there may have been a light dusting of snow, and that was, I think that's kind of rare for Louisville. But maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, we were down there for a construction show. It was out. I think it was outside. We went to one in Chicago at McCormick Place that was inside, but this one was, I think, outside. It had bulldozers, cranes, you know, all the stuff that folks that are into heavy equipment use. And I had a lot of fun going around, walking around, looking at all the equipment. I remember going to a bar too, my dad was having a beer or two. That was when you could still bring kids to the bar back in those days. That was probably in the late, or maybe early, it had been late 70s probably, because I'd probably been 12 or 13 at the time. Anyway, so in Louisville, the failure of Google Fiber there is not only a service failure, but also a failure of technology. They I hate to say this, but Google, I probably could have talked to you and let you know this wasn't a good idea, but they were burying fiber only at 2 inches. Yes, they were putting fiber. If you guys know what happens in the Midwest in the wintertime. So for those of you that don't live where it's cold and you get freezing weather, if you notice as you're heading, like let's say you start in Florida, and as you drive north, the roads seem to change when you get into states that actually have freezing temperatures. And what happens is that you'll see expansion joints, and because the roads, you know, they expand with the heat and cold. Well, that expansion and retraction, when it rains, water gets down in those cracks and then causes basically stuff to bust up. You ever left a Coke in the freezer too long? Yeah, you're right. You know what happens, right? The ice blows it up, and you usually have a, you know. So they only put the fiber down 2 inches, and then sealed it with some sort of. Are you going to say something? The CORTANA continues to try to it to activate. You're going to get shut off. Anyway, so this, they use a really junk sealant. So they buried the fiber in only 2 inches in that area where the roads freeze, 2 inches. Okay. And they didn't expect issues. So of course, after one winter and water getting down in there and those holes where they put those trenches in through the roads, and when the water froze, guess what happened? It pushed the sealant up and out. Potholes, we know how potholes work in the where it freezes, right? So all over Louisville, they got major issues, and Louisville wants cash. They want Google to fix their issues, to fix the road. So instead of having done this right and buried, B-U-R-I-E-D, buried the cable, the fiber cable, and sealing it with epoxy, idiots. Oh my God, who designed that? In all honesty, I would have walked up, I'm not an engineer, but I would have walked up and looked at that and I said, that's not going to work. And it didn't. So this shallow nano trenching, or the bearing cable under 2 inches, nothing stays buried that's under 2 inches. Come on. So 2 inches, really? You're going to put fiber 2 inches and cars are driving over top of that? So they want money. They say, fix it. Fix your issue. Now, a well-accepted fiber optic cable burrow depth is 6 inches. That's normal. And they use a groove about of an inch, and then it's easy to seal and make sure that 6 inches is enough. But 2 inches? Oh, come on. Now, my dad, if he was going to bury a fiber optic cable, it'd be like 10 feet deep or something. But, you know, that's, if it needed to be a foot, he used five. So, anyway, just, it's very, very comical here. But anyway, I guess your roads are going to get fixed, Louisville, but Google's got to pay for it. All right, NASA has made some bold moves. This is bold. So, and by the way, the NASA administrator, I really like this guy. He drinks Mountain Dew. I haven't had a Mountain Dew in a, well, probably 6 months, but I love Mountain Dew. I really do. I love Mountain Dew as much as I love Red Bull and Coke. Those are my three poisons: Coke, Mountain Dew, and Red Bull. I've had a Coke recently, but no Mountain Dew. And yes, I've had some Red Bull. But anyway, so this cool dude who drinks Mountain Dew, Jim Bridenstine, on Wednesday said that the space agency would consider launching its first Orion mission to the moon, on commercial rockets instead of NASA's own space launch system. This caught nearly everyone in the aerospace world off guard and represents a bold change from the status quo of Orion as America's spacecraft and the SLS as America's powerful rocket that will launch it. During the hearing, this happened at a Senate committee to assess America's future in space. They asked about EM-1's test flight and the delays, and talking about sending an uncrewed Orion spacecraft on a 3-week mission into lunar orbit. And this was supposed to happen in 2017, but it slipped to late as 2020. And he said SLS is struggling to meet its schedule. We are now understanding better how difficult this project is, and it's going to take some additional time. I want to be really clear. I think we as an agency need to stick to our commitment. If we tell you and others that we're going to launch in June of 2020 around the moon, I think we should launch around the moon in June of 2020. I think it can be done. We should consider as an agency all options to accomplish that objective. So, okay, so is it Delta's cryogenic stage 2 or the Centauri upper stage that's going to be used for ELA? Is it going to be the Falcon Heavy from SpaceX? Good question here, right? So could be some commercial activity going on as we expected. So NASA studying to see how this can be done. And one big question is how deep support for this plan runs in the agency. It would be relatively easy for a mid-level manager to kill this idea as has happened before, especially when President George Bush, Space Exploration Initiative in 1989 and 1990, as told, what is this about? Mid-level pro. Why did they bring up? I guess someone killed President George Bush Space Exploration Initiative in 89 and 90. So I guess that's why they say this idea could be killed. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here, all right? This next article has me scratching my head a little bit. And I think we all have reasons to be concerned. We know that 9/11 location data is critical for first responders trying to find us when we need help. If you're on the 32nd floor of a skyscraper in New York City and you have a heart attack and someone calls 911, they need to be able to pinpoint where you're at. The address is just not good enough, right? AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint were recently found to be selling location data to third parties despite rules banning such sales. Now, this data was only to be used for 911 purposes. But the data ended up in the hands of bounty hunters, bail bondsmen, bail agents, and others. On Friday, the FCC is scheduled to vote on a further notice of proposed rulemaking. This would require collection of more precise location data. It's called the Z-axis data. So, okay, so for those of you that are watching, XYZ, and this is a military thing too. So if you know your exact XY position on Earth, that's pretty good in a normal terms. Okay. If you're at sea level, all right, if you're at sea level, your XY condition, your XY position is pretty good. So if you're at zero, if you're right on the beach and your feet are level with the ocean, that's a pretty good position. But if you walk inland a mile and the terrain raises up 500 feet or 600 or 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 feet, when you're 10,000 feet in the air, your XY position is different if you're going to drop a JDAM on someone. So let's say, you're on the beach XY and they're going to drop a JDAM on you and they put in the XY coordinates and they put, 0 feet, and you're going to go into, you're going to be vaporized. But if you go up XY, you go up a mountain and you're at 10,000 feet and they put XY in 0 feet, you're going to live to see another day because that bomb's going to drop away from you. Because the Z-axis is missing. Z-axis is the height component. And so the Z-axis data is really, really important in that it would identify a person's floor in a multi-story building. So when someone calls 911, carriers could gather this data by using the barometric pressure sensors in a customer's phone to determine a person's distance above ground to within about 3 meters. Bum, bum, bum. So, but the Z-axis proposal by the FCC never mentions the word privacy. And it doesn't say which privacy rules would apply to carriers' collection of Z-axis data from customers' phones. Now, here's the crazy part. All right, think about where you're sitting right now. All right. Your phone knows your XY coordinates, but it doesn't know your Z component, doesn't know your height, doesn't know if you're in Denver, your phone just thinks you're at a certain lat long, and there's not really that much accuracy. They probably, the GPS probably guesstimates where you're at, but again, it's not 100% accurate when the phone's trying to report data. Now, it depends on the detailed data too. So there's another way you can do this. Using the GPS location, it can determine your rough height above ground. So that's how the map stuff continues to work. But if they're going to use barometric data to get this Z-axis data, of course, barometric pressure can change. So if they have to know that as well. But anyway, at some point, they're going to be able to follow you as a dot wherever you go. You go to the third floor, they're going to know you went up to the third floor. You go down to the basement, they're going to know you went to the basement. If you're on the 32nd floor, they're going to know you're on the 32nd floor. Now, how does that add into the picture of your life? Well, they probably know you go to a building, but where do you go in that building? They don't very much know. So we'll see where this leads. Although carriers can let applications access GPS, they're not allowed to permit applications or anything to access the NEAD information, which contains your exact location. With the proposed FNPRM, the FCC will vote on this Friday. The agency proposes a new category of information called Z-axis without saying which set of privacy rules governs it. So we'll see. We'll see about this. So you're going to be tracked a little deeper. And that data is probably going to be sold. All right, let's talk about a phone that ate an arrow. You drive into your driveway at your home. You get out. Your neighbor next door, who you've got friendly relationships with, he's got his bow and arrow out. And he's yelling at you. He's mad. You pull your cell phone out. You hold it up to it. Start taking a video of him. Well, your neighbor starts to decide he's going to shoot you with his bow and arrow. Well, this is crazy. That's exactly what happened down in Australia and New South Wales. This arrow went through this guy's cell phone, and of course it ripped it out of his hands and it nicked him in the chin. But he'd been holding up the cell phone at his neighbor, who shot an arrow at him that went through his cell phone, lost control of it, and nicked him. Probably saved his life. Yes, the neighbor got arrested. He was charged with intent to commit an indictable offense. Assault, occasionally, actual bodily harm, and malicious damage. In the U.S., that would have been attempted murder. So maybe it's the same thing in Australia. But the picture of this arrow through this phone is pretty impressive. I wouldn't have believed it. I thought it would have went further through. But looks like the screen protector slowed it down a little bit. So yes, your cell phone can protect you from arrow shots. I didn't hear how this launch went, but I assume it went. Two astronauts got a second shot at a space today after last year's rocket failure. Three astronauts were slated to launch from a Russian Soyuz spacecraft from Kazakhstan. So I'm assuming they made it. This article, what's the date on this? March 14th at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. There's no update. But remember those guys that went for a ride when the rocket decided it didn't want to go anymore? Well, they sounds like they got shot at the International Space Station today. I didn't hear anything about anything blowing up. So apparently they made it to orbit, and they'll be on the International Space Station for 3 days. So they'll have the crew load back to 6 up there. All right, new facial recognition bill. Now check this out. Think about where we're at in privacy control at this point. A new facial recognition bill would require consent before companies could share data. Notice they say share data, not collect data. The Bipartisan Commercial Facial Recognition Privacy Act, sponsored by Senator Brian Schatz, Democrat here of Hawaii, Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, and is the first of its kind when it comes to facial recognition technologies and the privacy concerns surrounding them. Under the bill, the users would need to be notified whenever their facial recognition data is used. Lawmakers said it would require third-party testing before the tech could be introduced into the market to ensure it is unbiased and doesn't harm consumer. I'm sure they're collecting our faces already and sharing that with marketing. On the commercial side, I'm almost positive of it. Is the cat out of the bag on this already? And Schatz says that our faces are our identities. So is our fingerprints. Senator Kamala Harris wants $15 million for state and local tech projects. She introduced the Digital Service Act of 2019 today. And it's basically going to spread some money around to states and helping them with their technology, basically able to hire some more people, and also help to improve tech within governmental services. So at the moment, the bill is still in infancy. It doesn't have any co-sponsors or partners, but the fact that the U.S. Digital Service is still kicking even under President Trump, and the president recently signed the Modernizing Government Technology Act to help modernize other federal systems, may bode well for its success. If you're a developer, Apple has opened the WWDC 2019 registration. It's going to happen on June 3rd. They probably have already sold out of tickets. I got the information this morning. If you want to go, it costs $1,600 to go. And Apple is doing a lottery system to address high demand for the conference tickets. And registration is open from today through the 20th. So I think you have to answer some questions correctly, dev type questions, in order to be put in the raffle. So I'd like to go to WWDC sometime. Probably wouldn't understand half of it because I'm not a dev. But sounds like a fun time. Hey, Twitter wants its workforce to be at least 5% Black, 5% Latin, they call Latinx, by the end of this year. I've never heard that Latin, use the word Latinx. Is it, why would they use the word X? Why wouldn't they say 5% Latino instead of Latinx? Someone clue me in here. But, okay. So, right now, their workforce is made up of women, December 2018, 20.2%, people of color, 2.9%, and Latinx, 3.2% as of right now. So, and they want to raise those two categories to 5%. And if you look at U.S. race and ethnicity in 2018, and is this in Twitter itself, or is this globally, or is this U.S. numbers? U.S. only, based on employment self-identification, regular full-time employees data. I don't know if this is for Twitter or not. It might be 2.93. Does that number match? No. Okay. So anyway, they're just trying to become a more diverse company, as one would expect and hope for someone like that. All right. Garmin's $1,500 plus MarQ GPS smartwatch have taken on the luxury watch world. And, you know, I'm thinking about this. Garmin, luxury watch. Those two words really kind of weird to go together. And $1,500, it's a big amount of money. So Garmin is taking fitness-focused smartwatches in a more premium direction. Its series of luxury watches will cost between $1,500 and $2,500, and they're targeting the high-end watch market. To that end, Garmin is releasing 5 smartwatches in the MarQ line. Each is meant to fill a different role where traditional timepieces would typically live. So yeah, the driver version $2,500, aviator version $1,950. The one designed for those that are on the high seas $1,850, expedition $1,750, and the athlete version $1,500. So if you're a Garmin fan and you love luxury watches, I can think of a lot better ways to spend $1,500 than buying a Garmin watch. Slack has announced that they've removed 28 accounts with ties to hate groups. Even Slack has to keep white nationalist groups at bay. So they pulled 28 accounts down. No number on how many people they actually had to axe. Apple has got a new, switching gears here, Apple's got a new iPhone ad, and it's pretty good. And I'd play it here, but we would get taken down for a privacy notice, and it's a follow-up to its trolley CES banner ads, and they've debuted a new commercial, and it's all about privacy, and it's just like flash, 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 closed, restrictions, private property, you know, it just goes on for a whole minute, flashing different images, and then it shows the iPhone laying face down saying privacy, that's iPhone, and you know, they've earned some bragging rights with progress on security encryption and reluctance to track users and hardening default settings. And, but of course, it's hard to forget that they had a little bit of FaceTime flaw recently with a bug there. And, but anyway, interesting commercial by the Apple team. Google blocked 2.3 billion bad ads for tickets, garage doors, tech support, and the like in 2018. That's 900 million fewer ads than it blocked last year, but twice as many advertisers and publishers. So sustainable ads may sound weird, but bad ads degrade the technologies that the financial lifeblood, not only for Google, but also countless websites. Ads are already enough trouble, of course, with all of us using ad blockers. And Google also launched 31 policies to ban categories of ads in 2018 that affected various abusive ads related to tech support, ticket resellers, cryptocurrency, local services such as garage door repairmen, bail bonds, and addiction treatment facilities. And they used AI and human reviewers to kill those. Firefox has a new feature, and Mozilla's rolled out a new way to share files with other people online. It's called Firefox Send. It allows anyone, regardless of the browser they're using, to send files. As a bonus, the files are encrypted and can be set to expire. And this isn't entirely new. We heard about this in August of 2017, and it was part of some experiments that were going out there. But as detailed in Mozilla blog, Firefox Send lets you send files up to 1 gig in size. This is a bump. This is bumped to 2.5 gigs if you sign up for a free Firefox account. Despite the name, Firefox Send works with any web browser. All you need is visit ascend.firefox.com. And it's always nice to be able to share big files, and especially encrypted. Windows 10 now can finally uninstall buggy updates. And so this is the good news. So if you have one that's a little bit weird and you get the dreaded blue screen of death, you can boot up in safe mode and actually pull out updates. And in a Windows support note, it explains in the event of a startup failure, Windows will try to diagnose and resolve failures due to disk issues, system file corruption, invalid register keys, and other such causes. If that doesn't work, Windows then will determine if the startup issue was introduced after a recent driver or quality update. They call their update quality updates. When it crashes the computer, it's not a quality update. These updates may be uninstalled automatically, or you can point and click to get rid of it yourself. So it's only done as a last resort, but good on Microsoft for that. This article by the folks over at The Verge should have us all thinking, at least those of us that live here in the United States. The article is entitled, China's About to Overtake America in AI Research. China will publish more of the most cited 50% of papers than America for the first time this year in artificial intelligence. You know, it makes me think a little bit, because China has not been good at being creative, but they've been just absolute masters in copying stuff. So you wonder then, and I can't make a direct correlation to it. I'll let you guys think about this a little bit. Why would China have a leg up on us on AI, being that they still aren't like really creative? They don't come up with a lot of original ideas because they copy almost everything. What then is different that makes them get a leg up on us? That's the question. We have to watch ourselves, don't we? All right, we talked a little bit on the last show about presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren on her announcement to break up big tech companies like Facebook and Google. Some people think that's a good idea. Some people don't. And surprising how many do agree with it. And interesting, Ted Cruz came out and said, first time I ever retweeted Elizabeth Warren, but she's right. Big tech has way too much power to silence free speech. They shouldn't be censoring Senator Warren or anybody else. A serious threat to democracy. We've talked a little bit about this on the show, right? I don't know. Is that what she meant by breaking up big tech? I didn't take it that way, but all right. So I'll let Senator Ted Cruz does his weigh in or his angle. But if you want to know how the other presidential candidates like Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Buttigieg, who is he? Never even heard of him. Julian Castro, another person I haven't heard of. All these people, they're really running for president. Anyway, so link will be up in the show notes and you guys can take a look at yourself and see if you're leaning towards a Democrat candidate, at least you'll know their stance. Huawei has confirmed it is a backup operating system in case it's cut off from Android. In the event that the tensions between Huawei technologies and the U.S. reach a boiling point, Huawei has a backup plan, its own operating system for phones and tablets and computers. The U.S. has been rumored for years, but Huawei confirmed its viability with the South China Morning Post, saying it could be used if the company were cut off from Android or Windows. It's seen as a last resort, but given the current discord between the U.S. and Huawei, it's not entirely surprising the company has a plan B. I'm sure it'll be really a slick copy of Android. Speaking of outages, Apple iCloud was down for several hours today. And so a little bit of that going around for everyone. A very smart Google employee has been, this is National Pie Day. Yeah, piece of pie? No, P-I. A Google employee has calculated pie to a record 31 trillion digits, but she only remembers 40 or so of them that are actually useful. Is it really important to go to, you have to go out to 40 really on pi? It's kind of funny here, but she calculated pi to 30. Oh, is that okay? That's million, trillion, billion. Let me get this right. That's million, trillion, billion. 31,526,530,926,500. Yeah, anyway, a big number. 31.415 trillion is where she got it to. Outside of bragging rights, the 9 trillion extra digits are unlikely to have many real-world uses. NASA only uses around 15 digits of pi to send rockets into space, and measuring the visible universe circumference to be precision of a single atom would take just 40 digits. Oh, you gotta love the love folks. All right, forget the Galaxy Fold, the Mate X. The Motorola Razr is the foldable phone to beat. According to the folks at CNET, they say, hear me out. Really? The Motorola Razr, the suggested or supposed replacement coming, is going to be the foldable phone to beat? If you follow this mobile stuff, link will be in the show notes. All right. Final article for tonight. Samsung's 1 terabyte T5 SSD is the top high-performance portable drive that's out there, and it's being discounted. And this is a great drive. So it's $178 on Amazon. That's down from $250. The Samsung T5 packs a ton of space into a compact, shock-resistant body and it's external. That weighs less than 2 ounces. You connect the drive to your gear via USB-C port, while compatibility with Windows, Macs, and Android devices means it will work pretty much with everything except for iOS devices. It features speedy transfer speeds up to 540 megabits per second. And it's the fastest single drive USB storage that PC World has ever tested. All right, I think I've got a couple of things came in via, let me see here, let me go down, GNC, oh, I'm on the wrong email. Let's see here, I got an email from Tom. He says, hey Todd, oops, forgot to tell you what this is. If you ever suffer from muscle cramps, apple cider vinegar is a great solution. 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in a glass of ice water with a couple of packets of sweetener makes a tasty drink. You can drink it up to 3 times a day. It worked for me the first night. So Tom, I've had that happen sometime after traveling a lot. I get Charlie horses. My mom is a big fan of apple cider vinegar. Did you turn her on to it, Tom? Was she the one that said to give it a try, or vice versa? I do have a question for you, Tom. What is it costing today? You're driving truck. What does it cost to, what is truckers charging a mile now? If you've got a full load, a full semi load, what does that charge per mile? Do you think that my Matson container, my 20-foot container, will be put on a train, or do you think there will actually be a truck driver that's hauling it across the country? I'm kind of curious how that's going to happen. You're on the road a lot. You see Matson trailers. Do they ship those via ship and then they transship them from a railroad yard someplace? Kind of curious what you think, how it's going to go. I didn't ask the Matson folks. I would assume goes to California, then put on rail, then put on a truck, but I might be wrong. Maybe it'll be trucked across. Who knows? All right. So that's going to wrap me up. Let me get out of here. Oh, Jerry said, Todd. A logarithm. The letters log are not used in this world. The word logarithm is not related to the word logarithm. Algorithm. I can't believe some prides themselves in the interest in technical issues would miss this detail. Jerry, you haven't been listening long enough. I destroy the English language on a daily basis. Okay? There's no hope for me. A logarithm. A lot of us do this. Thank you for your feedback. I do appreciate it. And trying to get me squared away. A log algorithm. It's hard. It's much easier to say a logarithm. Oh, thank you for being part of the Ohana here. All right, everyone, get out of here. That's going to wrap the show up. If you want to help the show, believe me, with all these extra expenses coming to move, your insider donations are greatly appreciated. And definitely the support of the GoDaddy sponsor right now over the next 2-3 months as we're transitioning, and I'm probably going to incur about $20,000 worth of bills to do all this move and set up the new studio and everything else. Long as we don't break anything, it won't be so bad, but do have to do some construction on the other end. I've got a space picked out. I've got pictures of the space. Very excited about what we're going to. I really am. Very, very excited what the future holds. It's going to be a very fun ride all the rest of the way through the rest of this year, especially when we relaunch the show video in the new studio. And here's what I'd love to have some feedback. I think everything in this room is going to go, but what's behind me is dated and needs a change. So should I go green screen, or what should I put behind me? Now, you guys, when you're online looking around and when you see some furniture, see something you think that would make a great backdrop for the set. If you see something out while you're out, wandering around, you're at a flea market, or you're shopping and you see something, oh, that would be perfect for a backdrop of Todd's show. Snap a picture. I'm thinking about maybe even doing stand up. Having a table that goes up and down so I can change the configuration that way. All kinds of ideas I've got going on. So I would appreciate your guys' input to me on what you think the new studio should look like. We're going to get bigger. We're going to have more depth. That's number one. And I've got a clear canvas here. absolutely clear canvas. We can do anything we want. So think about that a little bit. I have some ideas, but I want to hear from you what you think we should do. And I will at some point post some pictures. Now, the space I'm going into used to be a dentist's office. And so we got some work to do. I'm going to knock some partitions down. I'm going to have a handyman come in and do some work. And I don't want to change the building too much, but I don't need dental stalls at all in this new space. So let me know what you think. What should we do for this set? Because I'm going to have more than one set. That is absolutely guaranteed. Definitely be at least one set that's green screen no matter what. But what do you think we should do for this show? All right. It's been my pleasure bringing the podcast tonight. And at some point, we're going to be on Eastern time. You guys are going to be able to hang out with me in the evening while I do the show. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what time I'm going to do the show from now once we go to the mainland. That could all change. So what time do you think I should do the show too? Should it be an evening show like now so you guys can watch? You know, we can do all kinds of crazy stuff here. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of Ohana. We'll see you back here on Monday, everyone. Take care. Be safe. Be good. Thank you for supporting sponsors. And those of you that are being insiders, you're greatly appreciated. Everyone, take care. Aloha.